Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's a verse there, verse 3, that we want to study today, and we're going to have to go to other passages in our Bibles to be able to understand it or apply it fully. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." That passage right there, "your faith groweth exceedingly." You know, faith is very, very important, obviously. And when he spoke to the Thessalonians and said, "Your faith groweth exceedingly," it was something that he could tell, even though he wasn't with them when he wrote this letter. It was evident that their faith had been growing, and not growing just a little bit. He said that your faith groweth exceedingly. We want to talk today about a faith that groweth exceedingly, and what we want to see is, how does this start and how does it grow? You know, if you say about a child that's growing, wow, you've really grown up. And you know, you'll say that if you hadn't seen them about 5 years and they're still little. You're like, wow, you sure have grown. And you don't ask the question, wow, how'd that happen? Because that's a very natural process. You feed them and your grocery bill goes up and up and up. And the design of that body is to grow into its maturity. But in faith, it's not a natural thing. It doesn't happen just because you're saved. There is something that must be done in your life in order for your faith to grow exceedingly. That's what we want to see today. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us today. Father, we're so thankful to be here. We bow our heads before You because, Lord, we cannot do this work without You. We can't. I'm thankful around the country there are people that pray for us and pray for this work and pray for this ministry and pray for what we're doing right now. And I'm thankful, Father, we're able to pray for others around the country. We're so thankful for what You're doing in their lives, like Brother Dave Jeffers and Brother Jason Murphy, whom we're praying for today, and what You're doing in their lives and their churches, both in up in Tennessee and in Washington. Lord, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill them with Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'll fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Brother Tony's conducting junior church this morning. We pray, Father, for Your Spirit to magnify the words of God there so that the children hearing the words of God will be changed. Lord, I pray You'll magnify the words of God here today so that by the instruction we receive in the words of God will change. And we ask You, Lord, to strengthen us and grow us. And we desire a faith that groweth exceedingly. And we want to look in the Bible how that's accomplished in our lives and apply ourselves to that work. But we ask You to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so a faith that groweth exceedingly, like the Thessalonians had, is a faith that has to start somewhere. And truly, when it comes to something like this, that faith about which Paul is speaking here is a faith that begins with believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. It starts with faith in Christ, which is what you would expect. And the great number of people that are gathered here today are saved. There may very well be somebody here that's not saved. And so we need to just make sure we understand what this faith is when we talk about faith in Christ. And the reason is, when dealing with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll say, "You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And they'll say, "But I've always believed in Jesus Christ. Why is that not salvation?" And it becomes evident when you see what the Bible says. You're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at 2 Timothy, a couple of books over, 2 Timothy chapter 3. A passage that's very familiar to you, but one that helps us to understand. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So today, Tony's over there conducting junior church, might have some folks over there that are helping him and young children. You know that it's very possible for those children to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He said, from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures. And what do you learn in the Scriptures that even a child could understand? You learn these few little things. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You learn that. And you know who that is? That's everybody. You say, I've talked to adults who are not sure that they're sinners or that they've sinned bad enough. But you know something? If you're around children, and I'm talking about children that don't even know how to talk yet, but they understand what you're saying, and you tell them not to do something and they do it, they're disobeying you. If you ask them if they did something that they did and they say they didn't do it, they're lying to you. And they know how to do that. They don't know how to spell lie and disobey or obey. They don't know that. But they know this, and you know it too. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And boy, when that stuff sprouts into full bloom and becomes sin against God, it's amazing what people can do. I was reading a book the other day, and the fellow, the author said, I can't believe that a person with a human heart could do that to other people. What they had done was a terrorist thing. They had an innocent citizen that had been captured, put him in a prison box, a small cell, and in order to emphasize their terror, they fill that thing with gasoline, lit it on fire, and videotaped it, and then displayed it so people would understand what kind of terrorists they were. And the person that saw that said, I can't believe a person with a human heart is capable of doing that to other human beings. That's sin. That's sin. And just because you can't think and imagine of sinning something that bad, all that other stuff that you do that you think is okay with God, it ain't okay with God. It's sin. And then he says that, you know, you're going to be judged. And so we're all going to stand before God and be judged. It's appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. And you know what? You're going to be judged against the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. He never sinned. And God's going to put you on the scale. And he says, if your righteousness doesn't equal the righteousness of my son, you don't go in. You think, well, that's impossible for anybody that's already sinned to get to heaven with a case like that. Well, yeah, and the bad part is your sins have to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. Everybody in this room is going to die if Jesus doesn't come back before your life is over. And you're going to die because you have sin in you. And then those who die that are here today that don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to burn in a lake of fire. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire. Who does that include? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's not a good deal. People say, I can't believe a loving God would do that. He did it to his own son, so you wouldn't have to go there. I can't believe a person is stupid enough not to take that deal. People want to accuse God. I can't believe a loving God sent somebody to hell. I can't believe a stupid person who's on his way to hell won't take the free gift of salvation. That's what I believe. Quit accusing God, dummy. Look in the mirror and accuse the idiot in the room. I'm serious. You say, well, you shouldn't talk to me that way. Well, if I got to in order to shake you up enough to think about what you're turning down, you'll be glad I called you a dummy. I mean, the ventriloquist with the kid that's got the wooden head is smarter than you are. Accusing God. I can't believe a loving God with anybody to hell. I can't believe anybody who says he loved God wouldn't take Jesus Christ as his Savior after he already sent his own son to hell, so you wouldn't have to go there. If I knew who you were, I'd come over there and shake you in your seat a little bit. Wake up! Anyway, I look like I'm delighting in this, and I'm not. I just can't believe people would accuse God when you're the one that's guilty. And he says, then I gave you Jesus Christ as a substitute for you. My son bore your sins. He became everything you are, died and went to hell, rose the third day to prove that the eternal life he has for you, he's willing to offer. Now, here comes the faith. When you, as a sinner, put your faith in what he's already done for you and you say, I am trusting Jesus Christ to get me to heaven and I am not trusting anything that I have done or will do to get me there, now you are trusting Jesus Christ. Now your faith is in Christ. That's where a faith that groweth exceedingly begins. It begins with your new birth when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust him to get you to heaven. There were people all through the Gospels. When you read those Gospels, there were people who came to Jesus Christ and they were lepers, they were maimed, they were halt, they were crippled. They had issues of blood. They had devils. They had all kinds of things. Palsy and various kinds of diseases. And they were looking around. They're like, man, this, you know, I'm sick. And here comes Jesus. And they're like, Lord, I can't see. And the Lord said, what do you want me to do? Heal me so I can see. And Jesus said, hey, you know, you believe. And so he healed him. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Or thy faith has saved thee. And you see it over and over and over again. And you say, well, of course, people that had those kind of ailments would come to Jesus Christ for healing because they kept seeing all the people who had been healed. All right, look around here. How many of you right here, right now, are saved and you know it because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Now look all around you. Here are all these people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. See, you have as much testimony as they did because you see all of us who have trusted Christ. He said to them, your faith had made thee whole. Doesn't take much faith to get saved. If you think about it, you're simply believing that something somebody's done for you is enough to get you to heaven. You say, I am putting all of my faith in that. I'm trusting Christ. Doesn't take much faith to do that. That's where it starts. And then the Lord would say to those, go and sin no more. You know what the Lord saved you for? Not so you could keep doing the bad things you were doing before you got saved and then punch out and go to heaven. He did it so your life would change. And that's why your faith needs to grow, because you're not supposed to be stuck where you got started. He wants you to grow. Tolstoy was a non-believer. Tolstoy, if you've if you know anything about him, was a person who absolutely just did not believe in Jesus Christ or any of what you're hearing right now. But later he considered the doctrine of Jesus Christ and he got saved. And after he got saved, this is what he said. I tasted joy and happiness that death could not take away. His life changed. He said, my life changed. Immediately there was a transformation. I was not the same person. And you're not supposed to be the same person after you trust Jesus Christ. You're a child of God and no longer a child of the devil. That's where your faith starts. But it has to grow from there. Where does it go? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. We were in 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse 13. It starts with faith in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it starts with faith in Christ and it grows with believing His words. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Have you ever talked to somebody about things in the Bible and they said to you, but yeah, but that's just your interpretation? You know why they said that? Because they are regarding what you said as the words of men. Paul said, I am so thankful because when you heard what you received from us, you received it as the word of God. You heard it and received it not as the word of men. You didn't say, that's just your interpretation, Paul. He said, that's the word of God. And he said to them, it is the word of God. And then he said at the end, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So once you put your faith, listen, I gave you just a handful of verses. You're a sinner. You're going to be judged. You're going to pay for those sins. Liars have their part in the lake of fire. You have a substitute, 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, you're saved. John 1:12, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. I gave you, what, 6-7 scriptures? There's a whole lot more scriptures in the Bible than just those. But do you know to this day that there are people literally sitting in churches who are preaching Bible, been going to church for 20, 30, 40 years, and they don't know much more Bible than just those few little verses right there? And there's a whole lot more in that Bible than just those few little verses right there. And you know what Paul said? Paul said, you start reading this thing, or you start receiving these words, they will effectually work in you when you believe them. Your faith grows with believing God's words. Turn back with me and let's look at a person who did that. Go back to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, there were some men that were chosen because of their, they were full of the Holy Ghost, they had an honest report, and they were wise, and they were going to help in the ministry. You know what they were going to do? They were going to wait tables. Not much of a role, but hey, somebody had to do it, and these were good guys. One of the guys they chose was a fellow named Stephen. Stephen. And Acts chapter 6, verse 5, let's look at Stephen. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, watch it, a man, watch it, full of faith. You see that? Not just a little bit of faith to get saved. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look down in verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now watch. Verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. You know where that wisdom and that spirit by which he spake came from? He's using words. They can't resist those words. You know where it came from? Right here, it came from this book. It came from the words of God. Stephen was a man who acquainted himself and had a knowledge of the words of God. He spent a lot of time in the book. Now, we're not going to do this, but if you were to read Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7 is a long chapter. It goes on to 60 verses. If you were to read that, Stephen starts preaching at the beginning of Acts chapter 7, and he preaches all the way through there, and he's preaching about Moses, and he's preaching about Joseph, and he's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fabulous sermon. Preaching a lot of stuff there, a lot of scripture. He's filled with this. And then he turns it on those Pharisees. He said, you always do resist the Holy Ghost. And they stoned him. Where did that kind of faith come from? How did Stephen go from just being saved with faith in Christ to a man whose a spirit they could not resist and whose wisdom they could not resist? Came from this book. What does Romans chapter 10 verse 17 say? Does anybody know? Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just want to camp here for a moment because I know that you hear us emphasize, whether it's Tony preaching or Randy preaching or I'm preaching or a visitor preacher preaches, you're going to hear a lot of things, but somewhere in that sermon you're going to hear an exhortation to read and study this book. And some of you have taken that exhortation seriously, and you have a regular reading and study habit of the words of God. Praise the Lord, your faith is growing. But there are a number of you here. I don't know who you are. I don't have a camera in your house. I don't have a spy device. I don't use a drone. I haven't talked to your spouse. I haven't talked to your kids. But there are a number of you that are not spending time in the book. You will not grow in faith without the words of God. You cannot. Now, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would take what you just heard and stir your heart and stir your mind and stir your conscience and stir your manhood and stir your womanhood to say, you know what? This is the last time I'm going to have to sit here and listen to that preacher exhort me to get into my Bible. From now on, I'm getting in that book. And change. If you want a faith that grows and grows exceedingly, you've got to have faith in the words of God, and you can't unless you know what they are. You say, but I don't have time. Get over yourself. I don't have time for that. Get over yourself. We did a study at the Bible study Thursday night for the kids that come over young adults that come over to the house for supper and endure the Bible study. And we talked about diligence, and we looked at Joseph and we looked at Daniel. May I tell you something? When Daniel was promoted over the three presidents that were over 120 provinces under a new king Darius, and even he was an old man, Daniel spent time with God three times every day. Don't tell me you got too much to do. That's a lie that you've told yourself. Maybe your spouse believes it. Maybe somebody that's a close friend of yours believes it because they don't want to have to offend you. I don't believe it. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen, preach it. Yeah, well, now I feel better. We can go on to the next thing. Somebody amen this thing around here. You know, and I understand that some of what you read in here can be a little bit hard to understand. You know, a young boy went to junior church, just like our kids are over there going to junior church, and they studied Moses and the Jews crossing the Red Sea. And so when he got home, his mother said, "What did y'all study today?" He said, "Well, we studied Moses crossing the Red Sea with the Israelites." His mother said, "Really? Tell me about..." I want to see if he's paying attention. "Tell me about the story." "So it's the most awesome thing you've ever seen." Moses turned around, looked back behind him, and saw that the Egyptians were coming with their tanks, and he knew they couldn't survive it. So he got the army of engineers together. They built a bridge over the Red Sea, and everybody got over. And when they saw all the Egyptian tanks up on the bridge over the Red Sea, he called the Air Force, and they sent in airstrikes, and they blew up all of those tanks and destroyed them. His mother said, "Is that the way your teacher taught you that lesson today?" He said, "Well, not really, but if I told you what he said, you really wouldn't believe that." I realize that some of this stuff in here is tall, but the Lord said, you want this word to work in you, you're going to have to believe it. And you won't be able to believe it if you don't know what it says. I'm going to tell you the most awesome thing for me about reading this book is this. It's what Adrian Rogers said. Adrian Rogers said this: the Lord never said, "I'll show you and then you believe." He said, "No, you believe and then I'll show you." And what happens is once you get in this book and start believing what it says, it has a transforming effect on your mind. And it's a funny thing. Suddenly you see something in the news and you're like, "That ain't it." Because this book is telling you that's not so. Or you hear something, you read something in a book and you say, "That's interesting, but that's not right." That book is telling you that's not so. And then you'll hear somebody and they'll make a report and you go, "Now that's so." And you say, "How do you know that?" "Because that's how that book talks." And you will just know that most of what is being broadcast in any medium today is not true. That book is true. Absolutely true. I tell you, you just don't even know what you're missing out of when you're not growing in faith because you think all there is to the salvation you have is a ticket out of hell. There is so much more to it. Spurgeon said this: a little faith will bring your soul to heaven. That's what happens when you get saved. He went on to say, a great faith will bring heaven to your soul. That's what you're looking for. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. And that's what starts that faith growing. It's fertilizer, it's water, it's food for your soul. We have an oak tree that was planted. We have oak trees that were planted here 12 years ago. There's one over there in that parking lot on the other side of the fellowship hall, and it doesn't look very big. And the other day I had a fellow from a nursery here to talk about some things, and I asked him about that. He says, "Do you water that tree?" I said, "Well, I mean, not really." He goes, "Water it, it'll grow." I said, "Anything else?" He said, "Well, you can put a little organic fertilizer around the drip line, but it needs water." And I think to myself, you know, that's absolutely right. I'm looking around here, some of you are, you know what you need? You need some water! Where's that water come from? From the Word of God, according to Ephesians chapter 5. Water your soul. You'll grow. Your faith will grow. And then turn to Romans chapter 10. Well, Romans chapter 1, excuse me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You got to keep it growing. Got to keep it growing. What's it going to do that? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 17. Verse 16, for the context, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, there you go, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, watch it, from faith to faith, as it is written, here we go, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. All right, it starts with faith in Christ. That's what gets you going. It grows with believing His words, and then your faith, listen, continues growing with living by faith. Living by faith. What does that mean? Well, okay, so you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Woo, I'm saved. You could literally put this book down, check out, and wait till you die. You'll wind up in heaven. And there are people that have done that. Or you can read this Bible and begin to grow and believing what it says. You don't have to change your life to believe what's in this book. You just simply read it and say, well, I believe that. I'm not going to do it, but I believe it. You can do that. Aren't there some things in here that you believe you hadn't quite got down yet? Amen? All right, and then, but he says, you really want to really get growing after you make that good start, really want to get going, then start living by the things that you're believing. Live by faith. Yes, amen. God help us to do it because that's such an important thing. Live by faith. Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 11? In Hebrews chapter 11, just look at the beginning of it. The beautiful thing about Hebrews chapter 11, which is all these men and women who lived by faith, there's a common thing here. A common thing. We won't read the whole chapter. It's too long for that, for this. But we come here and we see verse 1, now faith. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I can see things that aren't seen by reading this book. I've never seen heaven, but I can tell you a lot about it. The streets are gold, and the gold is so pure, they're transparent. Did you know that? The walls there are walls of jasper, and they're very tall. The gates are gates of pearl, and they're huge. I tell you what names are written on the foundation, what color the foundations are, the dimensions of the city. There are a lot of things we know about heaven. I've never seen it, but I don't have to see it to know those things about heaven to be so, because we believe those things by faith. Those are evidence of things not seen. And then he says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then he comes down here and he says in verse 5, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He did that by faith. By faith in verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know what that means? One day he and God were taking a walk. God says, how would you like to go to heaven? He says, cool with me. And they went. That was it. He said, it's too late for you to go home anyway. Just come with me. All right, and then by faith in verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Somebody sent me a picture yesterday I thought was really great. The picture was a picture of a hummingbird coming to a feeder over a bay of water, probably taken at Rockport. And it says, you know, when the great flood came, God sent a message to Noah by a dove. But when Harvey came, God sent a message to Texans by a hummingbird. He knew not to send a dove because it would just get stuffed with a jalapeno and be wrapped in bacon. Yeah. Amen. Particularly this time of year, it's getting real close to that. Yeah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. See, he built an ark. Abraham went to a place that he would inherit, never seen before. And you just keep running down this thing, and all these people are doing what they're doing by faith. Abraham took Isaac and would have killed him because God instructed him to do that. He did that by faith. You know what what you're seeing here is the men believed something they hadn't seen before. There'd never been rain. God said, well, we're going to rain so much it's going to flood over the mountains. Build an ark. And Noah could have said, dude. For 1,600 years, we've never seen anything like that. Now you're telling me we're going to get a big old rain. He said, yeah. He said, okay, I believe that. It's going to be a lot of work if it doesn't happen. But he did it. Abraham, leave. Okay, he left. He said, offer your son. Okay, he offered. And when he did that, he saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he saw my day. It's an amazing thing. They believed it, and they lived by what they believed. In other words, they started what they did started changing. What you do starts changing, then you know you're really growing in faith. Emerson said, All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. That's good. That's really good. You see, you're really growing when what you believe begins to affect what you do. Go back to Thessalonians. This time go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We were in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Verse 2 for the context. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing, here it is, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at that, your work of faith. You really believe this stuff? You will start doing something about what you believe. You know, I started reading that Bible after the Lord chased me down and got me straightened out. And I am so thankful. He like a hound dog, he just stayed right on me till that old tree, that coon was treed. You know, I'm so thankful. All right, so for the next 2.5 years, you know, I just read and studied and went to Sunday school and had an opportunity to teach and so forth and so on. During that period of time, God called me to preach. And then brakes came on, left the bank, off to Bible college. You know the story. How in the world, people say, how in the world? You know what happens? You read that book, Bible, believe what it says, and it changes what you do. It changes what you do. There's something about what you're reading. You just say, I don't want to do those things anymore. They're not right. I'm going to do these things from now on. This is what God wants me to do. Listen, faith is not believing that God can. It is believing that God will. And if I said, you know something, if I go and I just apply myself to that study at Bible college, I believe the Lord's called me to preach, He will work out where He wants me to go and what He wants me to do. And He has done that and continues to do so. And I look at this and I think, all right, well, I'm only 63 years old and I don't have the energy I had when I was in my 30s, but I'm still breathing. And my mind works some of the time. There's more yet to do, and I believe God will do that. But it's a matter of living by faith. You understand? Obeying the words that you're reading, and your life changes. Now you're growing. Listen, people know that you're growing in faith when you used to do all these other things, and now you're doing all these kind of things, and you're not doing this just so you can fake people out to believe that you're a Christian. You're doing this because this is what you want to do. This is what God wants you to do. You're happy doing these things. Your life is fulfilled in these things. You don't want that over there anymore, and you're like, this has to be the work of faith. And it is. When you're over here teetering, oh, I wish I could have all that. I just can't because people are expecting me to live like a Christian now. But boy, I tell you what, man, that sure would be fun if I could just go back there and do that again. You got some faith. It hadn't grown very much. Boy, when that stuff starts to change, you look back there and, whew, man, I have had a taste of heaven. Heaven's in my soul. That's not the kind of life I want to live. That faith is growing. That faith is growing. All right, so it starts with faith in Christ. It grows with believing His words. It continues growing when you live by what you believe. And then this, 2 Thessalonians, back where we started, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read verse 3, and then we're going to read verse 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. There it is. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. There it is. Faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Oh. You really want a faith that groweth exceedingly? It has to go beyond living by faith. It has to go into being strengthened by the trials of your faith. You see, what happens to us is, Is there anybody here that doesn't like comfort? Let the record be shown. Nobody raised their hand. I didn't even raise my hand on that one. Of course we like comfort and convenience. You know, people say bad things about the society in which we live, but we kind of like it. We've kind of gotten used to the smartphones and cars with the technology that they have and microwaves and restaurants on every corner and convenience stores with gasoline every other block. You know, we'll say, this old generation ain't like it was before. Fill me up. We like it better than we let on. I know that what we don't like is persecutions and tribulation. Nobody likes that. I mean, as soon as it comes your way, you're here on Wednesday night, pray for me. I'm going through a rough time. I got it. I'm with you. But if you're ever going to listen, if you're ever going to grow up in your faith, you're going to have to go through some things. That faith has to be tried. That faith has to be tested. It will not strengthen if you don't. And there are people who don't want to go through those kind of things. Mark first traveled with Paul. He left early. And Paul was upset about that the next time that they were going to go and Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Well, Barnabas saw potential in Mark, said, I can put up with his shenanigans until he gets more mature. And later on, Paul said, send him to me, man. He's profitable to me for the ministry. What happened? His faith got tested and tried. It strengthened, and he got beyond those early days. Peter, poor Peter, had a faith that vacillated. And God just said, stay with it, Peter. And Peter did stay with it. And man, I mean, by the time Acts 2 came around, old Peter was tough. His faith was really strong. But how many times was he tested? Demas ran with Paul for a while and just finally got too much, and he said, you know what, I like the conveniences of this world. And Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me for having loved this present world. And you know what it just said? His faith grew to a point and then it stopped. He couldn't take it anymore. So you're going to get tested. You're going to get tried. You come to a place like this, Bible Believers Baptist Church, you're doing things for missions and encouraged to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and get in that Bible and start growing. If God gives you that kind of growth in your faith, He is going to test it. Why? Because He wants it to strengthen. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 is not to hurt you. You may think so. Where is God? Why did He leave me at a time like this? He didn't leave you. Well, why did He let the devil do this to me? He didn't let the devil do this to you. He's doing it to you. Well, I thank you very much. Yeah, well, He said, you come out on the other side of this tougher than you are now, you'll quit bellyaching about these little things. And you're only in kindergarten. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Isn't that what you want to say to that? I don't want that. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I'm supposed to be happy about this. Knowing this, of the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, now that's good. You say to the Lord, man, I want to be perfect. I want to be entire. I want to want nothing. The Lord said, then I'm going to have to put you through a test. So you go in there, quit bellyaching, because I'm going to have to take you through kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I got to graduate you. Then I got to get you off into college and in the test of your faith. When I get you through that, I've got a postgraduate degree for you. Then we can start working with you. And it's like, wow, this isn't so much fun. But weren't you so glad when you were in the eighth grade and you were the biggest one in the school? And then all of a sudden you get to ninth grade and it's like, oh, I'm a punk again. And then you're a senior and you're like, ha, ha, ha. You know, and then you go to college and now you're the punk again. And then all of a sudden you're a senior and you're like, ha, ha, ha. I guess it never meant anything to you. It kind of did to me. You don't get to be a senior until you go through freshman, sophomore, and junior years. You understand? You don't get to be the big man on campus or the big lady on campus. However you want to put that. I don't know how they put, how do y'all, I don't know how y'all put that, but anyway, something. Until you go through some things. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8, 9, and 10. You'll get the picture here. The Lord allows your faith to be tried because He wants it to grow. He wants you to be perfect. He wants you to be entire, wanting nothing. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he gets involved in the act. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in what? The faith. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, how long? A while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can't get there. God will orchestrate some of it, and He knows how the devil works. The Lord knows in the chess game that He plays with the devil every time He moves a piece, He knows exactly how the devil's going to move. And He will move you. The Lord will move you into a position knowing that the devil will counter that move, and He knows that the devil is there, and He knows the devil can devour you, and He gave you the instruction to resist him in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. And He says, you come through that thing, and when you come out on the other side, you will be perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. No other way to get there. He says, when that happens to you, then I know your faith has grown exceedingly. That's what was happening to the Thessalonians. That's what Paul said in verse 4 to them when he saw them. He said, your faith groweth exceedingly. How do I know that? Because you're enduring these afflictions, and you're enduring these persecutions, and you're enduring these tribulations that go along with the Christian life, and you're coming out on the other side. And that's the righteous judgment of God in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he looks at that and he says, those guys tried you, but they couldn't break you. Couldn't break you. Couldn't break you. Adrian Rogers said this, the least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. That is so true. And you've been given that faith. Don't cut out on it. The least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. Your faith groweth exceedingly when you survive the trials and keep on believing what you're reading in the book and keep on working in faith without succumbing to those things that are actually there to make you better. One man said this, that kind of faith, this that we've been talking about today, that that grows exceedingly, sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. I'm glad we had faith to get saved. I think everybody in here raised his hand. Maybe there's somebody who couldn't. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Man, I'm glad about that. But I'm glad there's more than just salvation. I'm glad that this book really does work and that the faith strengthens when you read it and believe it. And when you actually live by these words, they're absolutely true. God is absolutely true to His Word. And you see it. And when you come through a trial and out on the other side, you look back honestly, the thought ran through my mind on this point. I remember some of those early trials. And at the time that I was in them, I thought to myself, these are enough to ruin me. I really did. And I look back on those now, and I think to myself, they were so trivial. Why did I ever even consider that they were enough to ruin me? And you know what the answer is? It's not me, it's God. But when your faith grows to a point, you look back on that and realize that was child's play compared to what we're into today. But we couldn't have gotten where we are if we hadn't gone through that, if it hadn't been serious enough for the level of faith that I had at that time to break me there. It wouldn't have been strong enough to strengthen me to get me where we are today. And that's true of you. When your faith groweth exceedingly, Live by these words. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study the words of God and to see these things that we've seen in the scripture today. How this is so exciting. And now we understand why somebody like Tommy Tillman would say in his mid-80s, God, give me another 10 years. He has seen so much that you've done through his life that people said he couldn't do. And he knows it's all a matter of faith. He doesn't want it to stop. It's a journey that gets ever better and better. No plateau. I'm so thankful for his testimony. Years down the road, decades down the road from where we are today. Because it keeps us encouraged. Things just get better. Tougher but better and stronger. And wow, glory to God. And now while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, very simple question. First of all, I preached the gospel at the beginning of the message. It's very likely somebody here today is not saved. If you're here today without salvation, I'm going to just tell you right now, you need to be saved. No fooling. Is there anybody here right now, raise your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Just raise your hand up, put it up real quick, put it right back down. Preacher, I'm not saved. Nope, no hands, okay. Let me ask you about this. How's your faith doing? How's your faith doing? Is it no stronger than just that little bit that you had to get saved? I'm glad you're saved. You need to kick it up. You're here today and you hadn't been reading your Bible. You haven't been reading your Bible. You know you haven't been reading your Bible. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you with your head bowed right now say, preacher? If we were having a conversation, say, preacher? God got on me about that. I'm going to get in that book. I am going to start believing those words and reading what they said. Don't raise your hand. But I'm going to do that now. That's what my prayer is in this invitation. God, help me, by the grace of God, get in that book now and start believing those words. You've been believing those words, been reading it for a long time, but you're still not doing what it says. You're not living by those words. Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed, don't raise your hand, but preacher, right now, I tell you what, God got on me. I have not been living by that. I'm smart. I know what they say, but they hadn't changed my life. I'm giving that up. I'm going God's way. We're going to live by those words. That's my prayer at this invitation right now. Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Say, you know, I've been living by faith, and I've faced a couple of trials, and I ran just like Mark did. I ran just like Demas did. I do not like to be inconvenienced and discomfortable. And I'm still weak. My God wants my faith to get stronger. And I've got to go through these trials and trust Him. I'm going to do it. I'm going through. I want to be perfect, entire, established, settled, strengthened by the grace of God, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer today. God, give me the strength by your grace to get through the next trial that comes my way without whimpering and whining like a weenie. Help me to just face it and realize it's going to be better on the other side. Maybe that's your prayer to this invitation. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where you need to settle these matters with God. We're going to sing here in just a minute. When we do, I settle mine best at the altar. You do wherever God leads you to go. But if you need to get down here and settle what you've discussed with God today, what He's discussed with you, and get that faith growing exceedingly. Put some water on that tree so it's not stunted. And then go home and do something about what you heard. Like Jesus said, go and sin no more. Let your life change according to the words you've heard. Now, Father, you've heard this invitation. I'm asking you at the conclusion of this message to work in all of our hearts to accomplish what you want to do here today with this message. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.